Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of The Jack Benny Show from the 1946-47 season. This episode features George Burns and Gracie Allen. Always fun to have them on The Jack Benny Show, and George Burns, of course, was Jack's best friend, and they appeared on each other's radio shows, plus on each other's television shows. I don't know if you tuned in over the New Year, but I'd mentioned that they were having a marathon over on Antenna TV of Jack Benny shows alternating with Burns and Allen shows. So if you haven't caught any of the great Burns and Allen shows over on Antenna TV, they're great to watch too. So some fun shows and some great synergy there between Burns and Allen and Jack Benny. And you get to hear and experience a little bit of that tonight on tonight's episode. Enjoy George and Gracie and Jack and Mary and everyone else having a great time. So we'll see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
At 57, American.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, year in, year out. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette. And season after season, at market after market, independent tobacco experts, men who spend their lives buying, selling, and handling tobacco, can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Real Lucky Strike tobacco. Fine tobacco that means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, again it's Sunday, so let's go out to Beverly Hills to Jack. Wait a minute. Every week it's the same thing. Let's go out to Beverly Hills to Jack Benny's house. Why don't we go to somebody else's house for a change? Yes, why not? Let's go out to the home of George Burns and Gracie Allen.
What are you doing?
Oh, nothing, Gracie. Just reading a book.
Oh.
The man she was with tried to stop her, but she pushed him aside and staggered across the floor.
George, if you're going to sit there reading a book, why don't you take off your shirt?
Take off my shirt?
Yeah. It's so thrilling the way your muscles bulge when you turn a page.
Gracie, my muscles don't bulge, and let me read. The man she was with tried to stop her, but she...
George, is today Sunday?
Yes, yes. The man she was with tried to stop her.
I'm glad it is, because on Sunday, Jack Benny's on the air, and I wouldn't miss his program for the world.
Well, he's on right now. If you want to hear him, turn on the radio.
Jack Benny is wonderful. I think he's even funnier than Gene Herschel.
Gracie, he's on right now.
Gene Herschel?
No, Jack Benny.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't miss him for the world. You know, George, if Sunday came around and I didn't listen to Jack Benny's program, I'd kill myself.
Gracie, turn on the radio. You can hear him.
But if I killed myself, I wouldn't be able to hear the program next Sunday. And the program next Sunday would probably be better than the program I killed myself over. So that's why I make it a point never to miss Jack Benny.
Okay, I'll turn it on for you.
Oh, George, isn't that wonderful?
What's wonderful?
The way your muscles bulge when you turn the dial.
Gracie.
Take off your shirt.
Gracie, will you please keep quiet so I can get Jack Benny's program?
And Don, when I walked into the library and I said to Rochester, "What are you doing with those goldfish in your hand?" What do you think he said to me?
I don't know, Jack. What did he say?
Well, Rochester looked right in my face and said,
I say, why did you turn off Jack's program?
Well, I wanted to tell you that if you hadn't reminded me that today was Sunday, I would have missed him.
Look, Gracie, you could have found that out for yourself. All you had to do was go out in the kitchen and look at the calendar. The red numbers are Sundays.
But, George, on our calendar, all the numbers are red.
What?
It fell in a bowl of ketchup.
Well, Gracie, go back into the kitchen, take the calendar out of the ketchup, and wipe it off.
It's too late. You ate it for lunch.
I did?
Well, yeah, George Burns, why didn't you tell me you like calendars?
I love them. Now, Gracie, turn on the radio.
You turn it on.
Gracie, you're the one who wouldn't miss Jack Benny for the world. You turn it on.
You just want to see my muscles bulge.
Yes, I want to see your muscles bulge.
All right, but I'm not going to take my shirt off.
Okay, I'll turn it on.
No kidding, Jackson. Did that really happen?
Sure, Phil. And when the man got back on his horse, he said, he said, that's why umbrellas have ribs in them. I thought it was funny.
Don't be discouraged, Jack. I thought it was funny, too.
Gracie, stop talking to the radio. Gracie, why did you turn it off?
You were talking to me.
I said stop talking to the radio. How do you know the joke was funny? You didn't hear the beginning of it. All you heard was the answer.
Well, that's the only part you're supposed to laugh at. Oh, George, you're just jealous because he's so sophisticated and charming.
Jack Benny?
No, Gene Herschel.
Gene Herschel? Where did he come from?
Denmark. Everybody knows that.
Look, if you wouldn't miss Jack Benny for the world, why don't you keep listening? Instead of turning him on and off and on and off and on and off.
Oh, Judge, you're cute. Say that again.
Yeah, cute. Makes my Adam's apple do tricks, huh?
No. It makes your pivot tooth spin around and fan me.
Look, Gracie.
Be quiet, George. I want to listen to Jack Benny.
But, Don, you really ought to do something about your weight.
Oh, Jack, I'm not so fat. I went on a diet and lost 10 pounds.
10 pounds? Don, 10 pounds off of you is like taking one bucket of smog out of Los Angeles.
Quiet, George. I want to hear the end of the joke.
That was the end of it.
Don, when I first hired you 13 years ago, you were thin. And that's the reason I gave you the job.
I can't understand you, George.
Because I wanted
to thin. Every time Jack Benny comes down here, he starts talking.
I'm not talking. You're the one who wanted to hear him, and you keep on talking.
There you go again. You know I wouldn't miss him for the world. I think Jack Benny is the funniest comedian on the radio.
Gracie, if you go on to listen, I'm going to shut it off.
George Burns. Why did you turn off the radio?
Because I want to read my book. I just bought it. It's The Razor's Edge.
Well, why buy it? You could read it in any barbershop for nothing.
I never thought of that. Tomorrow, I think I'll go down to the vegetable market and read Strange Fruit.
Strange Fruit? We have that book right here.
In the library?
No, it would spoil. It's in the icebox.
I know. Gene Herschel wrote it. Know him very well. Now, go in the next room and listen to Jack Benny.
You bet I will. And I hope he has better luck than he had last week.
What do you mean?
Well, last week he was expecting Lauren Bacall to be his guest star, and she didn't show up.
Oh, yes, that's right. Gracie, will you please let me read my book?
George, there's only one thing to do. If Jack wanted Lauren Bacall in his program and couldn't have her, well, he can have me. I'll go over to his studio right now, and I'll be Lauren Bacall. George, get your hat.
But, Gracie...
George, get your hat.
Gracie, you can't be Lauren Bacall.
Is Lauren pretty?
Of course she is.
Has she got that come-and-kiss-me-big-boy look in her eyes?
Of course she has.
Is she exotic, alluring, and irresistible?
Of course she is.
George, get your hat.
Thank you. was the best man, played by Phil Harris and his 18 bridesmaids. And now,
hey,
ladies and gentlemen...
Just once when I finish a number, can't you say something nice? Not about the music, just about the boys. You'd have to make that crack about the bridesmaids.
Phil, when 18 men come to a broadcast wearing nightgowns, it calls for a comment. Believe me.
Them ain't nightgowns.
Oh, them ain't, huh? Phil, it's not them ain't. It's they aren't.
Well. Get a load of my little boss. He's gone crepe Suzette.
Phil, you don't even know what a crepe Suzette is.
It's a Pasadena tortilla.
Well, Phil, for once, you're right.
Sure I'm right. Everybody ain't as stupid as you are.
Stupid? Well. That's a fine thing to say about me, Phil. After all I've done for you.
What did you ever do for me?
What did I do for you, Phil? 11 years ago, I happened to be in Memphis, Tennessee, and I dragged you out of a bar, brought you out to Hollywood, put shoes on you, stood you in front of 18 musicians, put a stick in your hand, and because you already had the shakes, you thought you were leading them. And as a hint for you to wash your hair, somebody put you on a shampoo program. What did I ever do for you?
So what?
So what? Phil, when I picked you up, you didn't even have a ham hock to your name. That's a what.
Look, Jackson, this may surprise you, but I had one of the greatest orchestras in the country before I ever heard of you.
You had a great orchestra.
I'll say I did. I was the leader, and I had a man at the piano by the name of Viterbi.
What?
My first fiddle was a guy by the name of Heifetz. Toscanini made my arrangements. Stokowski played the clarinet, and I had a dame singing the blues by the name of Lily Pond.
Well, you really had some great musicians. How come you got rid of them?
They couldn't play poker.
Sure. I can just picture all those people being in your band. What are you talking about? We had a great orchestra. Why, we had one...
Didn't do anything but touch off the piano.
Who was that?
Lady Esther.
Phil, why don't you go down to Grauman's Chinese and put your head in the cement? And keep it there. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello. Hello, Dennis. Where have you been?
Oh, I was over at the drugstore having a drink. I had a tomato ice cream soda.
A what?
A tomato ice cream soda.
A tomato ice cream soda?
Uh-huh.
It must taste awful. What's in it?
2 scoops of vanilla ice cream, some chocolate syrup, carbonated water, and a cherry.
Well, what about the tomato?
She waited on me.
I see. I see, kid. You're making up a little joke.
Yeah, I make up jokes all the time.
I know. Now, come on, Dennis. Let's have your song.
You're not the only comedian in the world, you know.
Dennis, I never said I was. I mean, Edgar Bergen, Bob Hope, Jack Haley, Eddie Cantor.
And Gene Herschel.
Dennis, Gene Herschel isn't a comedian. He's on the radio as Dr. Christian.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Christian, come down.
Damn it.
Dr. Christian, I see you swinging from the highest yardarm in the British...
Now, cut that out!
I'm glad you stopped me. I was getting seasick.
Now, come on, Dennis. Let's have your song.
Okay.
Oh, Jack, before Dennis's song, how about the commercial?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Don, the commercial.
I have the quartet right here.
Don, last week the quartet didn't show up, and we got along very well without them. And I think we can get along without them this week, too.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Jack. You pay the sportsman $500 a week, don't you?
Yes.
Well, Jack, they took the whole $500 and spent it on this week's arrangement.
They spent their whole salary? Gee... Fellas, what do you live on? From the looks on the one on the end, it must be fattening. Well, all right, Don. If they're that sincere about it, I'll listen to it this time. But I'm warning you. Now, Don, I'm warning you. This time, it better be good.
I'll say it's good. All right, fellas, the Anvil Chorus.
Wait
Take
a minute.
It, boys.
Elephant tea.
Don.
That's what I like.
Don. Boys.
Lucky Strike.
Boys.
Strike.
Boys.
Strike.
Boys.
Strike. L-M-M-T. The round, the firm, the
bully. Bully what?
L-M-M-T. The round, the firm, the bully.
Bully what?
La 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 la. La 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 la. So free and easy.
I'm the what?
Bully pack.
Like Look, Don, this is too
Better go and buy one.
L-S-M-F-T.
Don, I don't want such a classy number.
That's a smoke for me. Lucky
strike. L-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-
Now, fellas, wait a minute, boy. Wait a minute, fellas. Wait a minute, boy.
Well, look.
Wait a minute! Don. Don. Mr. Wilson. Mount Wilson. Don, is this the arrangement they spent $500 for?
Yes, the anvil cost them $300.
Well, tell them to take their anvil and get out of here. Now, come on, fellas. Out, out, out. See? Dennis, that was last week. Now, come on, let's have your song.
Okay.
You'll always be the one I love. Every hour, every day, every year. You'll always be the one I love. Through each smile, through each sigh, through each tear, my heart will feel the same old glow. Even though the stars may fade from above, I promise there will be no other arms for me. You'll always be the one I love. My heart will feel the same old glow. Even though the stars may fade from above, there will be no other arms for me. You'll always be the one I love.
That was You'll Always Be the One I Love by Ticker Freeman. And sung, sung by Dennis Day. And it was really swell, Dennis. It couldn't have been sung better. And now...
What's wrong with Dick Hames?
What? There's nothing wrong with Dick Hames. I merely said that you sing beautifully.
I suppose Andy Russell is bad, huh?
Dennis, look, Andy Russell is fine, and so is Dick Hames. They're both great singers. And now...
Bing Crosby ought to punch you right in the nose.
Dennis, be quiet. Now, sit down. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our... Oh, darn it, more interruptions. Phil, answer the phone for me, will you please?
You answer it, Jackson. It might be a collect call, and I love to see your skin roll up.
Don't be so smart. Don, will you answer the phone, please?
Oh, I'm checking over the closing commercial. Dennis, will you answer the phone for Jack?
Let Gene Herschel do it.
Dennis! Now, stop being so... Oh, never mind. I'll answer it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Rochester, what do you want?
The dry cleaners here. Are there any suits you'd like to have cleaned or pressed?
Yes. Now, let me see.
How about your blue double-breasted one, boss?
I'm wearing that. Give him my gray gabardine.
I'm wearing that.
Well, look, Rochester, have him press my tan suit.
But, boss, you only wore that suit once. That was last week when you were rehearsing with Miss Lauren Bacall.
I know. She steamed the crease out of it. Look, Rochester, have him press that suit and tell him to let the pants out 2 inches.
Better let out more than that, boss.
No, Roy, the pants aren't that tight.
They're not. Remember what happened last week when you bent over?
Rochester.
If UCLA could have broke through like you did, they'd have won the game.
Well, okay. Give him my full dress suit, too.
Your full dress suit?
Yes, I may as well have it cleaned and pressed for the Academy Award dinner.
Boss, for what you're going to get, you could go in a T-shirt.
Look, Rochester, I'm not expecting an award this year. After all, I didn't make a picture.
Maybe they'll give you an award for that.
Oh, stop, and just give my suits to the cleaner. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
Can I have Tuesday afternoon off? I want to go to the races at Santa Anita.
But, Rochester, I thought on New Year's Day you made a resolution not to go to the races.
I didn't go on New Year's Day.
No.
Anyway, the reason I want to go Tuesday is because I got tips on 2 wonderful horses, Texas Sandman and Namby Pass.
Oh, are they good horses?
Well, Texas Sandman is by Shifting Sands out of Swamp Queen.
Uh-huh.
And Namby Pass is by Bypass out of Sweet Nancy.
Well, all right, Rochester, you can go, but you can't use my car this time. Take a yellow cab.
A yellow cab?
Yes, that's by Rapid Transit out of General Motors. Now, goodbye.
Goodbye.
I can't understand Rochester. He makes a New Year's resolution not to go to the races and then breaks it.
Say, Jackson, I was at the races yesterday, and I bet on a horse called Fit Shampoo.
Fit Shampoo?
Yeah, the dandruff came off him so fast, the other horses thought they were snowbound and froze to death. Oh, Harris, when you come home, Alice must think she's in Wonderland. UW.
Look, Wanga, Phil.
Hey, Mr. Benny.
What?
I once bet on a horse named Colgate.
Dennis, let it go, will you?
He came in first, and I got my own show. Oh, Dennis, when you come home, your mother must think she's in a nut house.
Well, at least that makes sense there. Now, kids, let's not hold up the show anymore because our sketch tonight is very... Come in.
Hello, Jack.
Huh?
Hello, big boy. Your worries are over. Baby is here.
Why, George. Gracie, what's this?
Don't be bashful, Blue Eyes. If you want anything, whistle.
What?
You know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together and blow.
Gracie, what?
Jack, I'm sorry for this. But Gracie heard how you didn't get to kiss Lauren Bacall last week, and now she wants to be Lauren Bacall.
You keep out of this, Humphrey. Now, how about it, kiddo? You'll find me fascinating, so let's fast.
But Gracie, I...
Wow, that's the kind of a woman I could go for.
Say, you're kind of cute, Sonny, but you're too young.
Maybe, but I'm plenty hip.
Oh. I suppose your father told you how the bees carry pollen from flower to flower on their feet?
Yes, he did.
Well, I'd advise you to forget that. I tried it, and believe me, it's nothing.
Look, Gracie, I know you meant well in coming over, but I'm trying to do a program.
That's right, Gracie. You're embarrassing Jack trying to kiss him. Let's go home.
With dry lips? Not on your life.
Look, Gracie, if you really want to be kissed, why don't you forget about Jackson and grab yourself a hunk of glamour like me?
Take it easy, Curly. Take it easy. There's plenty to go around.
Say, Gracie, do you know what you're saying?
No, but I love it. Now, come on, Jackson.
Now, Gracie, you're holding up my program. Anyway, I can't kiss you right under George's nose.
You can, but you won't like it that way.
Oh.
Gracie, stop all this nonsense and let's go home.
No, George, we can't go now. Lauren Bacall disappointed him, and I'm not going to let him be disappointed again.
But Gracie.
Kiss me,
Gracie.
Gracie,
where are you going?
Wait a minute.
Wow, what a kiss. My hair's standing on end.
Yeah, it slipped a little to the side, too.
What? Gracie, you ruined my whole radio program.
Radio program? George, let's hurry home.
Why?
Well, Jack Benny's on the air, and I wouldn't miss him for the world.
Yeah. If we hurry, we can catch the tobacco auctioneer.
Good night, George.
Good night, Gracie. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, because the majority of America's hospitals are understaffed, once again an urgent appeal is being made for student nurses. In order to meet this acute need, all young women between the ages of 17 and 35 who are high school or college graduates are urged to apply to their nearest hospital or school of nursing. And now, Jack will be back in just a minute, but first, here is my good friend, Mr. F. E. Boone.
American. Today, tomorrow, always, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts.
Listen to the words of a tobacco expert, a man whose business is tobacco, Mr. Fred Leonard Evans of Danville, Virginia, an independent tobacco buyer with 25 years' experience. He said,
year after year, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine quality leaf. That fine, ripe, mellow tobacco you can't beat for top smoking quality. I've smoked Lucky's myself for 19 years.
Quote, year after year, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine, quality leaf. Unquote. Yes, at auction after auction, independent tobacco experts like Mr. Evans can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Real Lucky Strike tobacco. Remember,
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And this fine Lucky Strike tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank George and Gracie, who appeared on our program tonight through the courtesy of Maxwell House Coffee. I also want to thank Gene Herschold, who was here in spirit. And he's cheaper that way. Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting
Company. Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show. This is also going to be the Fred Allen Show mixed together. This week we do not have a full episode of the Fred Allen Show. We only have the piece of it that discusses the feud part of the episode. So on days that I have that going on, I'll combine it with the Jack Benny Show and just have one podcast to go with both of them. Now, it's a good time to have one podcast. I needed two last week because I went kind of long. This won't be as long this week at all, but if you tuned in last week to the second week of the feud, you know that it became more a part of both of the shows. Instead of just being a little tagline of one line like it was the first week, they both expanded upon it. Now, on Fred's show, I think it's interesting that he expanded on it, but it's still kind of a small piece. It goes throughout his show, but it's all the same joke, and it's a pretty simple joke. I mean, the joke basically from last week is that Jack says that he had played the bee when he was 10 years old, or could play the bee when he was 10 years old, and Fred Allen just asked basically every person he runs into throughout the course of his episode if they'd ever seen or heard Jack Benny perform the bee. And of course, the answer is always no. So he concludes that no one has ever heard Jack perform the bee, so when he was 10 years old, so he never did that. Now, on Jack's side, on his show, it was featured more prominently. They keep on bringing up the fact, the joke is sort of, did you hear Fred Allen on Wednesday night and how funny Fred is? And Jack saying, you know, that it wasn't that funny, but everybody else saying it was. So that whole piece, and you'll see that played over and over again throughout the course of the feud, that the interesting twist that Jack has on the feud is that he thinks all these negative thoughts about Fred Allen, or his character does, but the rest of his cast thinks very positively about Fred Allen and really likes him and thinks he's funny and all of that. Whereas on Fred Allen's show, they don't really make the distinction. Sort of Fred's against Jack, and I'd say more or less his cast is against Jack. I mean, there's certainly lines that are thrown out to his cast where they say derogatory things to Jack too, but it's more just focused on Fred. Anyway, the amount of time that this took up on Jack's show, well, it kind of flowed throughout his whole episode. And it did too. It did as well on Fred Allen's side, but Fred Allen's felt smaller and didn't feel as central to the whole episode as it did on Jack's show. But which I think is totally appropriate with the way Fred Allen looked at the feud. Fred was, in looking back at the feud, was understanding that certainly Jack's show was far more popular than Fred's at this time, and that he felt lucky to have Jack even ping-ponging anything back at him to get the feud going. And I think he didn't want to come across as, boy, I'm feeding all kinds of fuel to this fire. He kind of wanted to keep it going, but kind of keep it at a low ebb and see where Jack was going to go with it. And then Jack turned up the heat on his episode tremendously, and so which invited, of course, Fred to turn up the heat, but it was kind of led by Jack, which makes total sense. Anyway, let's find out where it goes tonight with this episode featuring first the Fred Allen show, the piece of it that is about Jack Benny, and then followed by the Jack Benny response. I'm trying to decide. I want to play for you guys the very first time interaction with the, before there was ever the feud, Jack was on Fred Allen's show, and that just recently became available, that portion of that show. I'm trying to think of whether I want to play it tonight first. or not. Yeah, let's do that. So what's going to happen is, first thing you're going to hear is a pre-feud meeting of Jack and Fred that's a lot of fun. And that'll go for about 9 minutes. And then then you will hear Fred again, but it's going to change directions. It's going to be Fred's, the actual feud episode, that's going to be a few minutes long, and then it'll go into Jack's show. So I hope you enjoy all of this, and we will see you next week for more feud. I'm probably not going to be talking about the feud as much in upcoming weeks. I'm probably going to be focusing on other things going on, but certainly we'll revisit the feud as the feud keeps going week by week through this 1937 year, and then we'll, but sometimes I don't want to talk about it every single week, but I'll talk about it a lot. Anyway, enjoy, and we'll see you next time.
Now on Friday night, ladies and gentlemen, Timken Flog, the man who yelled, "Attaboy, Walter," when Walter Johnson threw the silver dollar across the river on Washington's birthday, will make a personal appearance here at the town hall. Now, you folks are going to have a chance to hear Mr. Flog yell, quote, "Attaboy, Walter," unquote, just as he did at the river and in the newsreel. There will be entertainment besides. A one-man band is... Quiet, please. Now, if that's some fan...
Hello.
Well, sir, as I live and try to...
There's no time for that tonight, Mr. Allen.
What's going on here, Portland? What's all this excitement?
Wait till you see who's here.
All right. Who's here?
Come on up, Mary. Look, Mr. Allen, it's Mary Livingston.
Mary Livingston. Fancy little old frowsy me meeting you face to face, Mary. This is a pleasure.
It ought to be. You're getting the best of us. Good work, Mary. Oh, boy, will we get even with Mr. Allen tonight.
Now, wait a minute.
Gee, it was nice of you to invite me over, Porty.
Well, who invited what? Who's right?
Are you all prepared, Mary?
Am I? I've been working like a dog all week.
Did you come over alone, Mary?
No, there's some fella standing over there. Who is he, Mary?
I don't know. Some stooge who works on my program. I forget his name.
Well, don't leave him standing over there in that draft. Say, buddy.
Yeah?
Why, it's Jack Benny.
Thank you, folks. Hello, Fred.
Hello, Jack. I'm certainly glad to see you.
You know, for a minute, it didn't look as though I was going to get in here.
Yes, it's lucky your name came up in the conversation, Mr.
Benny, Jack Benny.
Benny? Gee, that name sounds familiar.
Mary, I'm your husband, remember?
Oh, yes, Niagara Falls.
Yes.
You had the rice in your hair and the straw suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
Is he Jack Benny, the moving picture star, Mary?
That's what he thinks.
Now, wait a minute, you two. Jack is my guest tonight, and I'm certainly not going to stand here and see him insulted.
Thanks, Fred. And as one moving picture star to another...
Two stars. That's more than their pictures got.
Mary, read what they wrote for you. We're guests here. Remember.
It's all right. You can't insult us, Jack. You ought to see our fan mail.
Quiet, Portland. You just got back from Hollywood recently, didn't you, Jack?
Yes, Freddie. I was out there 11 months. I made those two pictures, Broadway Melody and It's in the Air.
Oh, yeah, I know. I made a picture out there, too, you know. Thanks a million.
Oh, really? Well, I was so busy out there, I never got around to those Nickelodeons, you know. you know how it is, Freddie, with me. Polo, golf, hiking and swimming, you know. I'm an outdoor man. But enough about me, Fred. Let's hear about you. How did you like my last picture?
You bet.
Oh.
Yes, that was a consensus.
What's that big pack? package under your arm, Jack? Are those your notices?
No, this is my violin. Of course, I don't expect to be called on, but you know the public.
I'll say it's best to play safe, Jack.
If he plays safe, he won't even open that violin case.
Now, look, it opens easy. Look, you just press this little thing, and before you know it, I'll have my violin out, and you'll hear some of the greatest violin. Who did that?
I guess you even opened the case like an amateur.
Say, Herman.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Now, what's the big idea giving Mr. Benny the gong?
Oh, I seen him reaching for the violin, so I let him have it.
Some hospitality, I'll say. Mr. Benny is our guest star, Herman. Now, I think you ought to apologize.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Benny. I was only acting for the good of the program.
Thanks.
Say, I've got an idea, Jack. Instead of the violin, let's start off with a high spot.
Well, we
you're can... right, Porty. And I've got a high spot right here. I've written a special poem for tonight. Bravo, Mary! Bravo!
Now, stop it, Portland. Stop here. What are you applauding for?
I'm giving Mary a reception. Go ahead, Mary. What's the poem?
I wouldn't do it.
It's dedicated to Town Hall.
I wouldn't bother.
Quiet, everybody. Town Hall. Dear old Town Hall. Yippee, wow, hot dog, I'll say. You can keep your dear old Town Hall. Give me good old Labor Day. Labor Day.
I knew it.
Labor Day.
I think all me. I knew that. Yeah, that's well, Mary. Well, Fred, I'm practically tuned up. Now, wait a minute, Jack. Jack, I may be wrong, but to me, the violin at this point might clash.
I've got another poem here. You can read it, Porty. Yes, that'll keep up the terrific tempo you set, Mary.
Oh, shucks. After I got my rosin out and everything.
Gee, Jack, I don't know why we should take the bitter when we can get the sweet.
That's cute.
Thanks, Mary. I'll recite your poem. To an olive, little olive in your bottle.
That's swell, Portland. That's certainly swell. Brevity and everything. You had the whole thing.
Freddie, if there was ever a spot for a violin solo, it's right now.
A musical lull might liven things up at that, Jack. Say, what is that song, that song you're gradually plugging into a hit?
Oh, you mean Love and Bloom?
That's the one.
Yes. How long have you been playing that, Jack?
Oh, about 4 years on and off.
Yes, on and off key.
Quiet.
But 4 years on the violin isn't so bad. A year on each string. I used to play the clarinet. You know, I started on Glowworm 10 years ago, and that worm isn't even sizzling yet.
Say, Schubert got famous not finishing the unfinished symphony, didn't he?
That's right.
Yes, but the Schuberts are busy. They've got the Follies and all those Blossom Times. Maybe you and Jack could get together, Mr. Allen.
That's
well,
not
yes,
a,
that's...
Oh, well, it's not a bad idea. Yes, sir, life is a game of cards, and here we are back to back, Jack. That's not a bad idea.
Freddie, I'd give $1,000 if I could think of an answer. Go ahead.
That's not a bad idea. I got half an answer for $500. I mean, if you're into that.
I know we'd be ad-libbing pretty soon. I mean,
we'll be talking into that party again before we know it, as we did 2 weeks ago. When you, that's not a bad idea.
That's it, I am.
That's not... Funny the way these little microphones are built, and still you can put your foot in it. That's not a bad idea, Jack, suggestion. If you'll help me finish Glowworm, I'll get right with you, and we'll clean up Love and Bloom in no time.
Well, have you got a clarinet, Fred?
Here's one.
Where'd you get a clarinet, Mary?
I was out with Ted Lewis last night.
Oh. Now, wait a minute, Fred. Don't start without me.
No,
let's get together.
Now, that note was stuck in the clarinet there, Jack. It must have been left over from my last recital.
Have you got the right end in your mouth?
Yes, I play it from either end. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. All right, we'll start, wait a minute, I just want to get going a little bit here.
All right, little rehearsal.
Ma, what time is it?
Those are the happy days.
I'm all set now, Fred.
Okay.
I'm ready for you.
I could close my eyes. I thought it was Rubinoff there for a second. We'll start with Glowworm, Jack. You just take the pizzicato.
The pizzicato?
Uh-huh.
All right. Wait till I ask Peter what that is. What is that pizzicato? Okay.
All ready?
Ready.
some tone, Jack. You know that last note sounded just like a bell to me?
Some note. It's the telephone. Will you answer it, Mary?
All right. Hello? Yes? Yes, I'll tell Mr. Benny.
What is it, Mary?
A request.
Are we standing too near the microphone?
No, some man doesn't like Glowworm. He wants Jack to play a solo.
What man?
Your father.
Oh.
Haven't you any relatives, Mr. Allen?
Yes, but their phones have all been taken out.
I don't know what to say, Freddie. This is embarrassing, really. Do you mind if I finish out our duet as a solo?
No, it's all right. You really ought to practice, you know. You're going to play in Pittsburgh next week, aren't you?
That's right. I wouldn't want to make a slip over there.
Hey,
you know.
And a slip would be noticed in Pittsburgh, too. There are plenty of music lovers in Pittsburgh.
If Jack plays in the theater, the streets will be full of music lovers.
Yeah, I get it.
Is the program dragging, or is it me?
I'll fix that. All right, boys. Thank heaven.
Wait a minute, Jack. Wait a minute. Come in.
Where can I find Jack Benny?
I'm Jack Benny.
Are you making a personal appearance in Pittsburgh next week?
Why, yes. I'll be at the Stanley Theater.
And you intend to play Love in Bloom in Pittsburgh?
Why, yeah. Hey, what's the big idea?
Yes, don't take Jack's violin.
I'm giving it right back to him.
Oh, my head. A fine thing to do to a guest star.
Gosh, the violin's in 1,000 pieces.
Just a minute, friend. Who are you?
I'm the mayor of Pittsburgh.
And now, ladies
Mr.
and gentlemen...
Allen!
Go away, Portland.
I want to tell you that...
You've been on already. Are you getting absent-minded or something?
No, there's a man here to see you. He says it's important.
Look, I'm busy, Portland. Tell him he'll have
to... You'd better tell him. He's right here.
Yes, it won't take a minute, Mr. Allen.
What is it? Do you want to see me?
Yes, I hate to butt in.
Well, that's just what you're doing.
I know I hate to do it, but I'm doing it. Me all over, no willpower.
Well, what is it? What is it you want to see me about?
Jack Benny.
Oh.
I heard his program last Sunday night.
Oh, so you're the one.
Well, no, there was another man with me. He heard it, too. Now, what's all this trouble you having with Jack Benny?
Why, there's no trouble, Mr.
Petrie.
Well, there's no trouble, Mr. Petrie. I just happened to say one night that Jack couldn't play a number called the B on his violin, that's all. Last Sunday, Jack said he could play the Flight of the Bumblebee.
Well, that's another tune, ain't it?
Yes, it's he's off on the wrong argument. You see, the number I meant is the B by Schubert. The Flight of the Bumblebee is by two other fellas, Rimsky and Korsakov.
Couple of foreigners, eh?
Huh? Well, as a matter of fact, the talk, the low-down in musical circles, Mr. Petrie, is that Rimsky and Korsakov heard Jack trying to play Schubert's B, and that's why they wrote their B in Flight.
Give the B a chance to get away, huh? Yes.
Now, Mr. Petrie, as man to man... I'm giving myself the best of it there a little, perhaps. But did you ever hear Stuff Benny play the bee on his violin?
Well, I heard him play something in a vaudeville theater one time.
Was it the bee?
Couldn't have been. When he finished playing, his violin was covered with something, but it wasn't honey. Looked more like tomatoes to me.
I see. With all those tomatoes hanging on it, his E string must have looked like a vine.
Well, I ain't here to stool pigeon, Alan.
Well,
you fellas ought to quit this arguing. All Waukegan is a god.
Uh-huh.
The Chamber of Commerce sent me down here as a committee of one to straighten this thing out.
Oh, are you from Waukegan, Mr. Petrie?
Well, yes, I'm in the post office there at the general delivery window.
Yeah, really?
Yes, right across from the second spittoon as you come in the door.
Then you're probably just the man I want to see. Did you know Jack in Waukegan when he was 10 years old?
Sure did.
Well, you ought to be able to settle the whole thing in 2 seconds. Could Jack play the B on his violin when he was 10 years old?
No.
Can you prove it?
Prove it? I've been running the general delivery window in the Waukegan post office for 40 years. You see, Jack Benny started taking violin lessons through the mail.
You mean he had his lessons come general delivery?
That's right. His family wouldn't let him practice in the house.
I can imagine.
Say, I can see Jack now. He'd toddle into the post office dragging his violin, and I'd give him his lesson, and he'd practice right there in front of a general delivery window.
What did he play?
Well, hey, got a violin?
Do you play, Mr. Petrie?
Never had a violin in my hands, but I can show you what Benny played any day.
Peter, will you lend Mr. Petrie a violin, please?
Yes, right here.
Oh, thank you. Here you are, Mr. Petrie.
This one's got four strings on it.
Yes, all violins have four strings.
Benny's violin only had two.
Well, never mind. Just show us what Jack played around the post office back in Waukegan when he was 10 years old.
Okie dokie. Here she goes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Petrie. That will be plenty.
Well, I guess that settles the argument, don't it?
You bet it does. If that's the B, I'm Kusevitsky.
Well, got to be going. Which way is Waukegan from here?
Well, you just go out that first door and keep left. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing we can add to Mr. Don't slink out, Mr. Petrie. Go right out with your head held up. There's nothing... There is nothing we can add to Mr. Petrie's story. The bee may have been played, ladies and gentlemen. We don't say that the bee... It may have been played by a 10-year-old boy, but his name was not Jack Benny.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens a program with Life Begins When You're in Love. Here's a letter from Alberta, Canada, written by a young wife who asks me not to mention her name, but who gives me full permission to read you this experience of hers. My husband came home the other day with a gelatin dessert not manufactured by the Jell-O Company. Being a dutiful wife, I'm mumbling something about having just purchased 3 packages of Jell-O and let the matter drop. But I knew that this was my opportunity to prove that I know food values and quality in purchasing. So I made the gelatin dessert my husband had brought home, and I also made Jell-O. Jell-O gave me a more richly flavored, firmer dessert that set in half the time. And now friend husband is thoroughly convinced that I know my business. Well, we're grateful to you, young lady, for sending us that letter. It bears out what I've so often said, that Jell-O's fine, fresh fruit flavor is tops in taste. No other gelatin dessert can equal the famous extra-rich fruit flavor of genuine Jell-O. But remember, there is only one Jell-O. So always be sure to ask for it by name. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O. Life Begins When You're in Love, played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you that violinist with the accent on viol, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very funny, Don. Very humorous. Evidently, you've been listening to Fred Allen again.
Oh, yes, yes, I have, Jack. Did you hear him last Wednesday?
Yes, Don, but only with my ears. My heart wasn't in it. Any man that can stand before a microphone and say that I can't play a violin just isn't normal. That's all.
But, Jack, he didn't say that you couldn't play the violin.
No?
All he said was you shouldn't play it.
Oh, I see.
Say, Jack.
Yes, Mary?
All I heard him say was you couldn't play the violin at the age of 10.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mary, because I've got a photograph of myself right here taken when I was 10 years old playing the B on my violin. A very difficult number. Here, Mary, look.
Hmm.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I'm glad it's not a sound picture.
They didn't have them in those days.
But, Jack, now how can we tell what number you're playing?
Well, if you were a musician, you'd know. Say, who are you working for anyway, Fred Allen or me?
Jell-O.
Oh. Well, let me tell you something. I played violin in concert halls long before I knew anything about strawberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
You left out raspberry.
Yeah.
I bet the audience didn't.
That's right. Give Allen more ammunition to work with.
Let's see that picture a minute, will you, Mary?
Yeah, look at it, Phil. You're a musician. That proves conclusively that I'm an artist.
Well, Jack, anybody can have a picture taken with a violin.
Yes, Phil, but look, can't you tell from the way I'm holding it that I can play?
You're holding it upside down.
Well, it's much harder that way. Anyway, I had a small chin, and I couldn't put the violin under it.
Now you can put a cello under it.
That's so.
Can I see the picture too, Jack?
Why? Why two twos?
Why do you want to see the picture, Kelly?
Well, everybody else is getting laughs out of it.
Yeah, you don't need it. Don't get cute, Kelly. And another thing, Fred Allen said I only had two strings on my fiddle. Imagine, that's what he called my Stradivarius, a fiddle.
Is it a Stradivarius?
That's not the point. Anyway, you count. Mary, you count it, will you? How many strings do you see in this picture?
Four.
See?
Three on the violin and one around your waist.
Well, that was to hold my trousers up. I was a poor boy in those days. That's what burns me up, Allen picking on a poor, defenseless boy. Anyway, I don't want to discuss it any further. I should stoop to argue with a toothpaste salesman.
Well, you could use one.
I said toothpaste, not toupee. Now, let's forget it. Say, Kenny, I want you to sing your song earlier tonight. It's very important.
Okay, Jack.
Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I want to take this opportunity of wishing you and your company a very, very happy New Year.
Say, what is it? How long are you going to keep coming here?
Until I get paid. Goodbye.
Gee, is he going to stick around all year?
It looks like it. Sing, Kenny.
There's a little old church that's covered with moss, where I held your hand tenderly. I often go there to gaze at the cross and dream you are there with me. How I'd love to hear the organ in the chapel in the moonlight while we're strolling down the aisle with your hand in mine. How I'd love to hear you whisper that you love me tenderly, and the love light in your eyes forever would shine. Till the roses turn to ashes, till the organ turns to rust, if you never come, I'll still be there till the moonlight turns. How I'd love to hear the choir in the chapel in the moonlight as they sing, "Oh, promise me choir in the chapel in the moon.
Chapel in the Moonlight, sung by Kenny Baker, and very good, too. And now, ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, we have a great treat in store for you and a real surprise. A guest star who needs no introduction. No doubt most of you have read about the recent Open Golf Tournament held right here in Los Angeles at Griffith Park. This tournament was won by Mr. Harry Cooper, whose sensational last-minute spurt will go down in golf history. His playing throughout the entire match was nothing short of phenomenal. And yet, Mr. Cooper remains the same modest, unassuming fellow he has always been. And so now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is my pleasure to present to you the man who was hit in the face with a divot, dug up by the club, held in the hands of Harry Cooper. None other than Mr. Oscar T. Fortu. Mr. Fortu, it is a rare privilege to have you appear on our program.
Thank you. I know how you feel.
Now, as I understand it, a week ago Saturday, you were hit with a divot. That is a clump of dirt thrown up by Harry Cooper's club. Is that correct?
Yes, indeedy.
Tell me, Mr. Fortu, how did you happen to get hit in the face with a divot?
I forgot to pivot.
Well, I can hardly believe it. Would you mind telling me exactly how and where you were hit, if you'd be so kindly?
Yes. Well, I was standing in the fairway facing Mr. Cooper.
I see.
And when he struck the ball, he dug up some turf which caught me kerplunk in the kisser.
Oh, yes.
In fact, some of the dirt went in my nostrils and some of it went in my mouth.
Well, and what did you say when that happened?
I've got you under my skin.
Well, you showed great presence of mind.
Yes, indeedy.
Mr. Indeedy goes to town.
Yeah. Tell me, Mr. Fortu, do you do anything else besides getting hit in the face?
Oh, very little.
Oh.
Of course, once in a while, I like a good kick in the pants.
Oh.
You'll get one if you hang around here.
Quiet, Miss Livingston. Well, sir, it's been a great honor having you with us, and I hope we'll see you soon again with more dirt than ever on your face.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and here's mud in your eye.
Yes. Well, I must hurry now, as I'm going to see a movie, and it starts in a few minutes.
Oh, what's the name of the picture?
The Good Earth.
Oh. Goodbye. Ah, folks. What other programmy brings you these highlights? And now, ladies and gentlemen, going from the subnormal to the sublime, we will pick up the 11th chapter, and we hope the final one, of our original Western serial, Buck Benny Rides Again, or The Horse the Jack Built. Once more, I will enact the role of Sheriff Buck Benny, as tough an hombre as ever scratched his back with a wildcat. This will go on immediately after the next number. Play, Phil.
Thank you.
was Lady Be Good from the production of the same name, played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our play, Buck Benny Rides Again. In the opening scene, we find Buck on horseback approaching the home of Daisy Carson, his sweetheart. Curtains. Music.
Here.
Whoa, partner, whoa. A good horse, even if he is bald-headed.
Hey, Buck!
Well, thought we'd find you here, Sheriff.
Hello, deputies. What's wrong?
Two of our guests broke out of jail.
They did? Who were they?
Fat-Faced Morrow and Slim Beloyne.
Fat-Faced and Slim, eh? You better get after them.
I'm on the trail of Fatty now.
Where are you going, Baker?
After the Thin Man.
Well, go ahead, boys. Glad you're leaving with a laugh.
Come in.
Well, hello, Daisy.
Hello, tall, dark, and big ears.
Well, gal, you can't exactly head into the wind yourself.
Can I fix you a little breakfast?
No, thanks, but I am thirsty. Mind getting me a drink of water, Daisy?
Sorry, Buck, but Pappy filled the well full of brandy.
Just like him. Where is your Pappy?
If he ain't in the well, he's down at Ike Muller's drinking breakfast.
Daisy, I'm glad I got a few minutes with you alone. You know, my Maud's been thinking things over, and she asked me to ask you to marry me. How about it?
Well, when you get home, tell your Ma that you asked me, and I told you to tell her that I said no.
Sure. Ma, I'll be mighty disappointed. Wish I could say the same.
Anyway, Buck, I told you once before that I can't ever marry you till Pappy passes on.
Till Pappy passes on, eh?
Yep, and I don't mean out.
I'd sure like to see that old cut up.
Help! Help! Get them elephants off my tray.
Here comes Pappy now.
Hello, Buck.
Hiya, Frank. What you got in that bottle?
Well, I stopped in at the drugstore and got myself some peroxide.
Peroxide? Don't tell me you're going to drink that.
Nope. Just thought I'd bleach my nose.
Good idea, Frank. You've been stopping traffic on Main Street long enough.
Did you have your breakfast yet, Pappy?
No, I ain't, Daisy. You got any eggs in the house?
Sorry, but we're all out of them.
Just that. My heart set on a gin omelet.
That's too bad.
So long, Buck.
Where you going, Pappy?
If you want me, I'll be in the well.
Good old Pappy. There he goes. Well, gotta be running along, Daisy. You know, I still haven't found Cactus Face or your Pappy's stolen cows. But it won't be long now.
By the time you find our cows, they'll be given gray milk.
Don't worry, gal. You going to reconsider my Ma's offer?
No, Buck. Anyway, you got a rival now. I'm kind of stuck on somebody else.
Oh, yeah? Well, I ain't jealous, gal. But if anybody steps in between you and me, well...
Well what?
Just well, that's all. Just plain well.
Are you calling me?
No, Pappy. Jump back in. Better be careful in that well, Frank.
Don't worry, Buck. He swims like a fish, too.
Well, that comes in handy.
Come in.
Hello, Daisy.
Hello, chubby puss.
Here, Daisy, I brought you a box of chocolate.
Thanks.
That's the guy, yeah.
Why, Annie, these pieces are all melted together.
Well, make believe it's a chocolate bar and shut up.
Gee, you're cute.
I'd never get away with that.
Say, Daisy, my Ma asked me to ask you to marry me. What do you say?
Wait a minute, Andy. My Ma asked me to ask Daisy first.
Well, my Ma likes Daisy better than your Ma does.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, and your Ma better be careful because my Ma packs a wicked rice.
Well, my Ma don't chop wood for nothing. Mind if I have a piece of candy?
Help yourself, Buck.
Thanks.
Hey, that's my candy.
You keep out of there.
Now, let me tell you something, Andy. I'll answer that phone, Daisy. I'm expecting an important call. Hello? Yes? Who? Why, hello, Buck.
It's Buck Jones. Buck Jones?
Not that big Western movie star.
Another?
Gee, I should have had my hair done. Have I got time to bite my nails?
Pardon the interruption, Buck. What's on your mind? Yes? Yes? Well, burn my britches and put me in thought. Thanks, Buck. See you later. So long.
What is it?
Buck Jones is down at the Hotel Fly-In, Sonora, Texas. And he said he just saw Cactus Face walking into the El Toro Saloon.
He did?
Yeah, we better get on our horses, Andy, and head for Ensenada. Jones is waiting for us at the hotel there. Goodbye, Daisy.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Pappy. I sure will. Well, we're on our way to Mexico, and this time we're going to bring back Captain Payne.
Yeah!
Buck Kenny rides again.
So does Andy Devine.
Buck and Andy are now on the way to Ensenada. They may not find Cactus Face, but they will find Jell-O, and that's all I care about, because whether you're in the United States or Mexico, you can always get the genuine Jell-O with the big red letters on the box.
No use rushing, Andy. We got a long ride ahead of us. A long, tough trail.
We sure have, Buck. You want to hear some music?
Where are you going to get music?
Well, I had a radio built in my horse.
Well... Tune her in, Andy. Tune her in.
Days have elapsed, and now we find Buck and Andy in Mexico approaching the quaint little town of Ensenada.
I said Texas before, Andy. I meant Mexico. Might as well clear that up with our listening audience. Sure has been a long trip, Andy.
Yeah, mighty lucky we had that radio, Buck.
Sure is. Tune her in again.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Allen! Mr. Allen!
Turn that off, Andy.
Say, Buck.
Yeah?
I'm worried. How are we going to get along down here in Mexico?
Don't worry, Andy. I can speak the language like a native. Say, see those lights up ahead? That might be the Playa Ensenada Hotel.
It might at that.
Here comes a little Mexican girl down the road. I'll ask her. Whoa. Hola, buenos dias, senorita. ¿Dónde está el Hotel Playa Ensenada? ¿Está muy...?
It's that large white building right ahead of you. The one with the red tile roof. You can't miss it.
Gracias, senorita. Gracias.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you. You see, Andy, lucky I'm here with you.
You sure understood her, Buck.
Well, let's get going. We don't want to keep Buck Jones waiting.
Okay, giddy up.
Come on, partner. Whoa, whoa, partner.
Whoa.
We nearly had a photographic finish. Beautiful place, Andy. Let's go inside and talk to the clerk.
Well, you'll have to do the talking, Buck.
Okay. Oye, ¿cómo está, señor? Dígame, por favor, si está hospedado aquí, el señor Buck Jones?
Oh, yes, he's in room 201. I'll send for him immediately.
Gracias, señorita. Or señor. Gracias.
You sure get along swell down here, Buck.
Yep, I never have any trouble talking to a native. I only wish I could find one. Well, here comes Buck Jones now.
Sure enough.
You.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Buck. Glad to see you.
Sure glad to see you, too, Buck.
You know Sheriff Andy Devine.
Why, sure. We made a picture together now quite a while ago. Remember that, Andy?
Yep, and we had a lot of fun making it, didn't we?
You know, Buck, I made a couple of pictures myself lately for Paramount. The big broadcast and college holiday. Did you see them?
I don't know. Were they Western?
No, I stepped out of character for those. Tell me, Buck, when you called me on the phone, were you positive you saw Cactus Face Elmer, the outlaw?
No, I wasn't.
What did you call me for?
Oh, I just wanted to get on your program.
Hmm. Well, I need a fella like you to help me catch that varmint. Let's go into the bar and have a drink. Find out where the bar is, Andy.
I can't speak the language here.
Oh, that's right. I'll find out. Oye, portero, ¿dónde está el café?
Right down the hall. First door to your right.
I said the bar room.
Oh, second door to your right.
Come on, boys, let's go in. Well, you having a good time down here in Ensenada, Buck?
Sure am, Buck. How about you?
Well, I had a rough trip, Buck.
Oh, fuck up, Buck.
No, Buck.
My name is Andy. See if you can squeeze that in.
Well, here we are, fellas. Have a drink on me.
Well, boys, bottle it be.
I'll have a gin Buck. What'll you have, Buck?
I'll have a Buck Carty.
Hmm. How about you, Sheriff?
I'll have a Tom and Andy.
That's Tom and Jerry.
Well, let Jerry look out for himself.
Say, fellas, come here a minute. That bartender looks kind of familiar to me.
He does?
Might be disguised. Wait a minute, I've got a hunch. Andy, you keep him covered while I talk to him.
Okay, Sheriff.
And Jones, you circle around the other side and keep him covered from there.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm a real cowboy.
Oh, well, come on and play.
I got a sneaking idea that it's Cactus Face, the fellow who stole Carson's cow. Hey, bartender.
Yes, gentlemen.
What did you do before you tended bars?
I was in the milk business.
In the milk business, eh?
Yes, sir. From cow to cocktail.
Now, listen, fellas. If this guy can't speak Spanish, we got our man. Hey, bartender. ¿Qué es conocer usted de ese lugar del país?
Yo solo soy Vicente Suárez.
Ajá, ¿cuánto tiempo tiene trabajando aquí?
Is that so? A schwarz years old vieja.
I'm afraid we're on the wrong trail, boys. I'll try it once more. ¿Está segura que me dice la verdad de usted?
3 minutes can cop and verga harget. Whoopsie.
Whoopsie? It's Cactus Face. Grab him, boy. The lights are out. Watch that door. I got him, fellas. I got him. Wait a minute. Who's stepping on my hand?
Get off of me, Sheriff. You're on my back.
Can't help it, Andy. Buck Jones is on mine.
Then who's on me?
William F. Hart.
This floor show will not be continued next Sunday night. Will Buck get off, Buck? Will Andy get off the floor? Will our sponsor tell us where to get off? Tune in next Sunday night and find out. Play, boys. Time of the year when it's usually difficult to get something new and different into your menus. So here's one suggestion that is bound to give you that welcome touch of variety. Serve Salad Supreme. It's a delicious Jell-O salad. Here's how you make it. Dissolve a package of lime Jell-O in 1 pint of hot water and chill until slightly thickened. Then fold in 1 cup of diced tart apples, 1 cup of chopped cabbage, and 4 finely chopped stuffed olives. After that, simply mold this grand combination and serve it on crisp lettuce with some real mayonnaise. It makes a wonderful salad, one that will add variety to any meal. But just be sure you make this salad with genuine Jell-O. For only Jell-O brings you that mellow, extra-rich fruit flavor. Remember to ask for the real thing. Insist on the one and only genuine Jell-O.
Number of the 16th program of the new Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday night. Meanwhile, I want to thank all of our guests this evening. Hope we had as many listeners. Buck Jones of Universal, Andy Devine of Likewise, Patsy Flick of Warner Brothers, and
Jack Benny of Waukegan.
Buenas noches, folks.
The selection Life Begins When You're in Love is from the picture The Music Goes Round and Round. The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston comes to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI, Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony, Incorporated.